your life.
I don't even know what to look at on here. Oh, I see. I'm definitely challenged in these areas. I do a grateful recovering compulsive overeater. Will it beep 50 minutes?
Yeah.
I'll try to
watch. I'm watching that.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to, you know, just follow the basic formula, what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. And I'm obviously going to tell my story from a body image standpoint. I came into the rooms in November of 86, and I paused to think about that this morning. It's Saturday. I was like, I don't have to do school on Saturday. I homeschooled, so I was like, I don't have to do school on Saturday. You know, and I came up with the wrong number, and then I said, no, it's 23. It's 23 years since I've been coming around these rooms. I, too, am a relapse survivor as well, and so there was a point where I did go back out. My history is that I am a 100-pounder, but when I came into the rooms that November, I had compulsively exercised, restricted calories to a certain point, and because I was fearful of public transportation, I had, you know, walked everywhere, and so I was a somewhat normal weight. But, you know, when I came into the rooms, I knew I was on my way back up, and it was a good thing that I got here. And actually, it was a body image kind of story that got me into the rooms. I worked at an advertising agency, and I was very good friends with the graphic artist. And a gentleman had brought in his portfolio, a freelancer, he was looking for work. And he had this huge portfolio, and I was looking through it. He had done drawings of a woman, an obese woman, nude. And I was like, wow, how could somebody, you know, that just hit me at the core. How could somebody do that? How could, you know, I could never do that, is what I was thinking. And I said as much out loud to this co-worker of mine, and somehow we got talking about eating, and I just closed something enough for her to talk about OA, and I said, oh, I looked into that once before, but I was in Washington, D.C., and the one meeting I had called about was a place we had to take a bus, metro, and I was fearful of buses, and it was too far to walk at night. It was over on MacArthur Boulevard or something, and so I never went, you know, but here was this person in my life passing on the information, and she said, oh, no, we were in DuPont Circle. She said, there's lots of meetings here. And sure enough, there was one up the street that I eventually became my home meeting, and I went there. You know, and again, it was this portfolio that, you know, got the conversation started and got me where I needed to be. When I think about body image and, you know, my obsession with food and was very great, the kinds of food I would eat and stuff, but when I think about my body image, and I think I was really crazy there, really crazy. Like I said, I came into these rooms, and it was all, even though I was like this somewhat normal weight, I was just obsessed with what my body looked like, so I was taking in as few calories as I possibly could stand. But I could only go for about a 6-week period, and then I would start eating again. But the exercise, the compulsive exercise, was a big thing for me. I was a runner, and I ran every day, and I just kept increasing it. I did live in the DuPont Circle area. I would pick the hardest possible courses to run. I would run up Massachusetts Avenue, which is not only steep but long. And then I would run down into Georgetown. And the real craziness started when I got into Georgetown. They have a lot of brick streets, so you have to be careful, or sidewalks where you have to be careful. And they're pretty narrow, but it's storefront after storefront after storefront, which you could also see as mirror after mirror after mirror, you know, and some of the storefronts have glass that jets out like this and goes down. So you could get all kinds of angles and views. And I would be obsessed with running down a hill on these uneven brick, you know, I could kill myself, but, you know, I was so intent on getting every angle, you know, my body running down these streets, you know, with the fat jiggling here, with the, you know, how was I looking up here? And the whole time, all this other stuff is going by. Who else is looking at me, for good or for ill? You know, it's like I was, when I think of how much energy was going on in my mind on this whole run, you know, the body, the comments coming in, you know, just pretty crazy. And I think of how, you know, I was looking for, you know, men to look at me, whether they were walking on the sidewalk, that they'd say hello, or were they whistle from a car, you know. I was looking for these comments, but I was thinking this morning about how, you know, just a few years earlier, I had been in college and I had gotten sick. And at that point, I was not a normal weight. I was overweight. And I had to go to this hospital, you know, just to find out what was wrong with me. And it ended up being just the flu. But I remember this doctor examining me. And because he saw all the stretch marks I had, he assumed that, you know, I had been pregnant. And he made all these awful comments. And, you know, I didn't have a voice, you know, to speak up and tell him that that was inappropriate. You know, I just felt shame and humiliation. And, you know, so I got to contrast that with, you know, being out there running, looking for comments. I let the culture very much dictate my body image, you know. I mean, I guess for decades now it's been sexy, 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 and that's what I went for. You know, I had a lot of low-cut shirts. I thought nothing ill, anyway, of showing cleavage. That was what I did. That was how I was going to get a man, as far as I was concerned, you know. And so I did that. I very much bought into the the whole size, you know, the whole chart of sizes. I knew what I always wanted to wear, what size I always wanted to wear. I always had a goal in mind. I could never usually fit into what I wanted, so I ended up wearing tight clothes and very uncomfortable. And I couldn't go anywhere without comparing, you know, my body and your body to whoever was walking by. Again, it was only after getting abstinent and looking at these behaviors, I realized I couldn't carry on a relationship, a real friendship, a real relationship with anyone when I had this constantly churning in my mind. I found out I was very obsessed with buying clothes. I've always liked clothes and fashion, but obviously, you know, in the disease, it goes to the extreme. I found out that if you bought a designers, their sizes are bigger, and so I could buy a smaller size, and of course that's what I wanted. I could spend a lot more money too. I would, you know, I mean, there's a good $40 or $50 difference between, you know, a skirt from Casual Corner and, you know, something from some designer. And so, you know, I debted myself quite a bit, you know, with that sort of, with those sorts of purchases. I just made a list of things I was obsessed with. Looking in mirrors, looking at catalogs, ironing clothes. I don't see this. I had a sponsor, or a sponsee for years. You know, forget that I had all these crazy problems in my life. I ironed my shoelaces. I washed them and ironed my shoelaces. So I was literally, you know, detailed down to my toes, but forget that I was, you know, obese. Sheepers. On and off the scale constantly, trying all kinds of different hairdos, spending a lot of money, you know, getting highlights and things like that. I had running soap operas in my head that I would just, I remember even in grade school having these, and it just carried on through college and even into my professional life here. I was always the star. I always looked good. I always had the mail, you know, but I had this running thing constantly in my head every day. I overspent on clothing. I spent a lot of time coordinating clothing, you know, matching, if I had a plaid, which I didn't always wear plaids very much, but, or any little stripe in a shirt, I would match up exactly to, you know, a solid. Just a lot of time spent on things like that. Holding in my stomach. Oh, my gosh. That was, I think it was a natural. I was a compulsive overeater, maybe an innate thing that I did probably as a kid or something. I don't know. I don't do it. I don't do it now, thank goodness. But that was a big thing. Just before I came into program, it was in the 80s, and the rage in fashion was spandex, the leggings, and the big shirts with the shoulder pads. And, of course, the concept was that you made that waist look really small. Didn't work on me too well, but anyway, that's where I was coming from. What happened is once I discovered these rooms, I was able to come in, and it was very clear to me that if I didn't want to wear this lifestyle anymore, I was going to have to give it away, and so I had to share about it. And I was able to do that because I heard other people share about these things and detail things about their food. And I got with it and disclosed these things and started healing. A big part of what I did, because I had this big disconnect. I, in my mind, like I said, I had these soap operas, and I wanted to look a certain way, but my body was what it was, and I just didn't get it, you know? So, as strange as it sounds, I had this full-length mirror in this bedroom of mine, and I would read the newspaper and drink coffee, and I would be nude in front of this mirror as a way of, every day, it was kind of, I guess, a strange form of prayer and meditation, if you will, but it was a way to make a connection between who I was and what my body really was. And I did that for a long time.